In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Us, or them, we versus they, the white hats versus the black hats. Joshua asked, are you for us or for our enemies? No. The Passover had just happened. Israel had just remembered that the Lord had saved them from slavery 40 years earlier. The Lord had brought them into the land. They'd crossed over the Jordan. They ate the Passover, and after that, they ate of the land that flowed with milk and honey and grain, too. And so the manna stopped. They could make their own honey cakes now. The Lord had given them the land that flowed with all the ingredients that they needed, a land like the Garden of Eden. But first, they needed to conquer the land. The Lord had promised that He was going to drive out the inhabitants of the land. He had promised, well, He had said that He had judged them. He judged them because of their disbelief, their unbelief. He judged them because of their wicked, idolatrous worship, their gods who demanded orgies and child sacrifice. Now, the people of that land were descended from Noah's grandson, Canaan, but they turned away from Noah's God, the God of salvation. They had created their own gods. They created gods like themselves, gods that devour, gods that demand sacrifice, gods that demand you live according to the desires of your flesh, demand that you sacrifice your own flesh and blood. And they had been judged. And so there, under the walls of mighty Jericho, Joshua meets a man, a mighty man, a soldier, and he asks him, are you for us or our enemies? And the answer, no. I am the commander, the prince of the armies of the Lord. Now I have come. And what an answer. It almost seems evasive, doesn't it? He doesn't even answer the question at all. This man was telling Joshua, your question is wrong. I am not for you and against others. No, that's not what I'm here for. Do I choose one nation over another? No. Did I choose Abraham and his offspring alone? No. I am for faith. Faith which trusts in the Lord. Abraham's offspring are those who have faith in the Lord's promised salvation. The sword in my hand is my weapon, the sword of my word which fights unbelief, which blots out unbelief, which puts it to death, which kills the old sinner in you, stabs you in the heart, and cuts out your heart of unbelief, your heart of stone, and gives you a true heart which clings to my word, destroying the old you and raising up a new you. This is really what that soldier was saying. And by faith in Christ, each of you here is new. The old you of sin is gone. It is dead. It took a sword through the chest, and the new you of faith has risen in its place to take the place of the old you. And so, who is the Lord for? Us or them? No. He is for everyone. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, for everyone, for all. He is for faith. He is for salvation. And so despite the promise to Israel to give them the land and to destroy the inhabitants of the land, he's not against the inhabitants of the land. After all, look at Rahab, one of the inhabitants of the land. She was a prostitute, which means that possibly she was one of the priestesses of their sex god Baal. She had faith in the Lord. She wanted in to this nation, into His promises, into His salvation. She'd heard His word. His word cut her to the heart. His word repented her. It killed the old sinner in her, the unbeliever. It faithed her, and it raised up a new Rahab. In faith, she helped the spies that Joshua had sent in. And in faith, she listened to the word of Joshua's spies. And in faith, she and all her household, all her family, and everyone who listened to her were saved. In faith, Israel listened to the promise of the Lord to give them that city. And in faith, they did what he said. And he gave them that city. And the walls fell down before them, all except where her house was, according to his word of mercy for her and for the Israelites. So the commander of the armies of the Lord was there. He was there to fight for faith. He was there to faith the faithful. He was there to save by the faith that he gave. And so we have to ask, well, who was this commander of the armies of the Lord? Well, when you look at the context, looked at everything that happened, who was it? It was the Lord. It was Jesus, the second person of the Trinity before taking on flesh. That's how God was able to appear to Joshua without killing him. Because, you know, the Lord cannot appear to anyone. No one can see his face and live unless the Lord hides himself in human form. Just like when the Lord called Moses. The angel of the Lord appeared in a burning bush, God in human form there in that bush, and said, "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." And now Joshua, God in human form appears to him, and what does the commander say? He says, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Well, what made it holy? Nothing. Except for the fact that the Lord was there in that place with his salvation. We can ask the same thing. What makes this place holy? Nothing. Except for the fact that the Lord is here in this place, according to his promises, in his word and his sacrament, to give us salvation. This place is holy, for now I have come. I have come to save. And so he lays out his plan of salvation to Joshua. He tells them, 7 days, circle around the city with the ark, once for 6 days and then 7 times on that 7th day, with 7 priests blowing 7 trumpets. The ark of the Lord, the presence of the Lord as their rear guard. And he tells them, all those first 6 days, don't make any battle cries. Don't do any trash talking at the Jerichoans. Don't hype yourselves up or work yourselves up for the fight. Just do what I say. What did he say? He said, have a parade, a liturgical procession. My priests who dole out my salvation, my ark from whence comes my mercy, following them as their rear guard, my people who have been mercied, saved, all in procession. A procession that proclaims what? My mercy. 7 days of mercy before judgment. Have you ever noticed that with the Lord, there is always preaching, there are always entreaties to repent and be saved? There's always a time of mercy before his judgment finally comes. For he is love and mercy. And then, on that 7th day, the day that God rested after creating all things, the day that he rested after saving all things, that holy Saturday, on that 7th day, the Lord gave his people rest from their enemies. He gave them victory. He gave them rest in a gracious land that provided for them. And at the Lord's command, everything in that wicked city was devoted to destruction. A city so wicked that a curse had to be placed on it that it not be rebuilt again. Whoever rebuilds the walls and gate will do so at the cost of their firstborn and lastborn son. A city of sin, a city of unbelief, devoted before the Lord to destruction. Well, the Lord who led them, the Lord who commanded this, later took on our flesh, and in his baptism and at the cross took on our sin, and was devoted by his Father to destruction upon the cross for our sake. So repent. For you and I really are very little different than the Jerichoans. You and I live for our pleasure. You and I sacrifice what is good and what is godly, family, children, contentment. We do it, why? To get ahead, to be successful, to please and pleasure ourselves, whatever that may be. Our culture that we live in is just like that of the Canaanites, worshiping sex, sacrificing our children on the altar of material wealth and sensual pleasure. And we're all part of it. It's not us against them, because we're all in the same boat. Maybe your actions are a little bit better than someone else's, but yeah, when it all comes down, you know that your mind and your thoughts and your heart aren't that much different. No, it's not us against them, it's the Lord for all. For the Lord has come. He has come to fight for faith, to save you from yourself and your sin, to save your children alive, to give them his life and his love, and to bring you to your promised land of heaven, to a mighty city whose foundations have been laid at the cost of his firstborn son, and who has become the gate by which you and I enter that city. For the Lord is not for you and against everyone else. He is for faith. And the weapons of his warfare are not of flesh and blood. For he does not fight against flesh and blood, but against the forces of spiritual darkness. And he has won the victory, disarming sin and Satan and death by devoting himself to destruction. And he has given you eternal life, the eternal life of faith in himself. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.